Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Kedoshim, an incredibly exciting parsha, which begins with the famous command, Kedoshim Tiyu, to tell Bnei Yisrael to be holy. And what is the intent of this command? So the Zohar HaKadosh comments that this isn't a command. It's a statement that Hashem promised us that we'll be holy. And what does that mean, that it's a statement, not a command? So the famous Chalban, Rav Yaakov HaChalban, the famous Kabbalist, the author of Talalei Chaim Shlita, explains that as extensions of Hashem Himself, who is Kadosh forever, we too are Kadosh, and we're destined to be so forever. So any failure in the Kedusha department is to be determined and seen by a human being to be a temporary. And we, says the Chalban, are not to give up on our desire to be Kadosh, because in the end, Hashem's people will be like Him. Kedoshim to you. You are going to wind up being Kodosh. And we just need to keep that in mind and hold ourselves to it. So then the Torah continues with the responsibility, Ish imobi aviv tirovesh absosai tishmoru. A person should fear his parents and observe my Shabbos. And what's the connection between these two mitzvos? What's the term and the basis for that connection? Why is Shabbos and kibud avim put together? So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal explained these two mitzvos both highlight our beliefs in the kadmanuso shel olam, in the divine origin of the world. Now it's well known that Rav Yaakov Zatzal explained once on a plane to a well-known evolutionist that the difference between Rav Yaakov and the evolutionist and the way that his children relate to him and the evolutionist's children's relate to him and grandchildren relate to him is the fact that Rav Yaakov's children see him as a one step, two steps closer to Mamar Har Sinai and Gilui Shechina, while the evolutionists see them and their grandfather as a couple of steps closer to being a monkey. In the same way that our reverence of parents is due to our belief in the fact that our parents, grandparents, and previous generations have a closeness to Hashem, our observance of Shabbos is also a declaration in the belief of the fact that Hashem created the world. So Rav Yaakov, in essence, is suggesting, Ishimo v'aviv tirova shabsosai tishmoru, we are declaring by keeping our Shabbos, and we are declaring by revering our parents, that we have this understanding. We are also declaring our faith in the fact that God is the creator of the world and that we feel an attachment to it when we observe these two mitzvos. The Torah continues and tells us, V'chi says, B'chu zevach shlamim. We have a responsibility to realize that when we sacrifice a shlamim offering to Hashem, L'tzonchem tizbachu, we need to sacrifice it so that it will be pleasing on our behalves. And the improper intention, explains Rashi, having improper kavana in regard to the carbon itself is usur. We're not allowed to have thoughts that are interrupting, that we'll do it at the wrong time, the wrong place. Why does the Torah choose to emphasize improper intention regarding only time and place of eating? And why only in regard to the shlamim, the carbon that is eaten? Why don't we talk about this idea of v'chi soviu carbon? Whenever you bring any carbon, an ola, a chatas, why don't we also say lirtzon chem tizbachu, that we have an obligation so that it should work on our behalves? So Rav Moshe Stav Shalita explained that when the idolaters offer sacrifices, they understand that they're in one place and somebody else is in another place. They don't change the goal or the nature of their lives. They continue to aspire to live in this world, from this world. And so for an idolater, the height of perfection is to act justly and appropriately so that the world can function properly. There's no idea of Shechina, which entails seeing the guidance of Hashem in this world and living with the goal of being megala galei kvo malchuscha aleinu mehera, of revealing Hashem's presence within the universe. And so therefore, when a non-Jew brings a karban, he is capable of giving over from himself or his property to Hashem, because that's it. I have mine, I tithe it to you, and then I go back and do whatever I want. But the idea of eating, that in my act of eating, there is a higher purpose, that's not relevant to an Oved Avodah Zarah, because the concept is foreign. Gods are there, and I'm here. Bnei Yisrael, in contrast, are specifically commanded to bring the Shekhinah into this world. And this is accomplished by eating. This worldly pleasure that we're doing is performed l'shem shamayim, for the purpose of God. However, all of this is possible when man doesn't allow the inclination of his heart to lead him. And so the care regarding the laws of Karbanos, in particular the place and the time, is sure that one's intentions will remain pure, specifically in the Karban that he is going to eat. And so therefore, v'chisiz b'chu zevach todo la'Hashem, even when you're bringing the Karban that's going to be a zevach to Hashem, do it with the understanding that whatever you're doing is l'ritzono, not just haphazardly, something that's going to be for your own self or with your own intention. We're also told later in the parasha that we are told, Lo salin pula sachir itchad boker. Don't withhold the wages. Don't withhold the wages of a day laborer. And this rule only applies to day laborers of poalim, as opposed to merchandise, where you can wait a reasonable amount of time to pay the going rate of time on an invoice, which we take advantage of all the time. How many of us pay our credit card bill every night online? We pay when the deal is due, when the amount is due. So Rabbeinu Tam comments that one must pay these workers in cash as opposed to merchandise. And that's because the day laborer, Elof who knows Seyas Nafsho, he places his life out for the job, and he deserves full pay quickly and easily. So Shechter Shlita noted that there's a mechlokas between Rishonim as to whether the deal that we talk about between a poel, a day laborer, and the owner, the individual is doing the work, is what we call a schaivus min haTorah, an obligation that's set aside by the Torah, or is it my obligation that based on the deal struck between the two parties? So most Rishonim, Rav Shachter explains, assume that it's not the goodness of the boss that requires him to pay, it's the obligations of the Torah. So much so, says Rav Shachter, that when the boss thought he was going to get a good deal, and it's better than the going market rate, that this makes a difference. And so far as the idea of hiring workers is a milvak suva batorah, and so if for whatever reason you change the deal to be lower than what the going rate of the market is, the deal is actually null and you have to pay the market value. That's what it means. And this is all due to the fact that Elof who knows Seyas Nafsho, when he puts his life on the line today, you have to pay him today. Lo salim pula sachir etchad boker, the ideals and the ability to have the best deal, that is something that's in the hands of the sachir. The Torah also tells us, lo samad ol damri echa, which Rashi explains means that a person shouldn't idly stand by and see his death, like someone die, like when a person is drowning or being attacked. He has a responsibility to rise to the occasion. What's the intention of the Torah over here? Doesn't the Torah specifically refer to physical saving? Or does it also include davening for someone in trouble that the person should be saved? And so in one of his letters, the Chazon Ish explained that when one who davens for somebody else in need does more good than the one who actually saves him, for the tefillah is to Hashem who does the actual saving. And this is part of the kiyum of lo salin pula sachir. But does that mean that when someone is spotted drowning, that we simply should stand by and call a tilim rally? Or are we supposed to call out Hatzalah and make sure that we save them? So the Chazon Ish says, obviously that's not what we do. The Torah is warning us of both sides of the responsibility of lo samar ol damri echa, to do whatever is in our power to do, but at the same time never to forget that the ultimate savior is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And then we're told, b'mnei seva takum v'hadarta p'nei zakin. We're told to rise for the elder, but also to rise for the older and respect the elder. And the Gemara Makos on the Aftab Beis Amid Beis identifies one who rises for a Sefer Torah and not a Talmud Chacham as a tipesh, as a fool. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal asks why the person is called a fool. Why isn't he called a rasha? There's a mitzvah v'hadarta p'nei zakein, and a person who flaunts that mitzvah is a rasha. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman answers that we're obviously speaking of people who rise for Talmidei Chachamim, but without that same warmth that they have when they rise for the Sefer Torah. One's obligatory, right? I stand for the Talmid Chacham, walks to Beis Medrash. The other is with obligation, but also with a sense of connection to the reverence. If you're going to stand with connection to reverence of a Sefer Torah, but not for a Talmid Chacham, you're a fool. Because you're attaching yourself more to Hashem via the Talmud Chacham. So how come a person would think that connecting to the Sefer Torah is something which is more of an experience? Similarly, a person who would say, I am excited for the opportunity to do what? to donate money for the donation of a Sefer Torah, as opposed to donating money to Mekayme Torah. You have to understand, it should follow that that's also equally as foolish. And so, of course, a person needs to understand you connect more with the Torah's Chaim, and that comes with Vahadarta Pnei Zakein. At the end of the parasha, we're reminded, Vivdalta Mein HaBehema HaTahoro LaTameo Bein HaOfa Tamei LaTahor. And Rashi notes that this pasuk of separating between the animal that's tar and the animal that's tamei is not talking about distinguishing between species. That's obvious. Rather, Vivdaltam, the mitzvah over here is about the differentiation between an animal that's shechted properly and an animal that's not shechted properly. And often that difference is a difference of a tiny size of a hair's breadth. A difference sometimes between chatzi simanim, when you shecht an animal and you only do half of the shechita, versus rov simanim, versus the majority. At some point, you get to the majority, and at that point in time, the shechita is good. So Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal asks, why is the difference between species, why is it that the difference between them doesn't need to be mentioned according to Rashi? You also can't partake intermittently of an animal that's tamei. So Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal explains that the prohibition of kosher and non-kosher species is based on prohibitions that are written in the Torah. But the one about the difference between a rov and a chatzi, that's Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh needs more elaboration, it needs more explanation, and it needs more protection. And so therefore, it's more of a chiddush, it's more of a nuanced idea, and so therefore the Torah comes back and reminds us, v'hivdaltem. This coming week's Haftorah, depending on where you are, is going to be something different. We, most of us in Ashkenaz, follow the practice of the Ramah, who points out to us that we try desperately to avoid reading from Yechezkel, Hoda es Yerushalayim eskol Torah Yevaseh. And since last week we did not read Halo Kibnei Kushiyim Atem Li, so this week we'll take the opportunity and read from Amos in the ninth parak. And there, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, we find the famous Pasuk, Hinei Yamim Rabim, Hinei Yamim Baim, Ne'um Hashem. You should know that there are days coming, declares Hashem, V'nigash Choresh Bakotzer, the plowman should meet the reaper. And Rav Yehuda Minchenberg Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Hamat Midim, he points out that Amos is teaching us that in the future, the celebrations of the different agricultural seasons that mark our changing relationship with Hashem or our ability to relate to Hashem through that time period, the way that we think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relate to Him when we're plowing, is different from the time period that we have for ourselves when we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the harvest. And in the future, all the differences will cease to be unique insofar as our closeness to Hashem will allow us to relate to Him on more than one level at the time. That we'll be able to think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and realize just how great He is and what we are gaining out of Him at all those moments in time. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant us that time quickly in our day, and may we be zoche to those future days, b'mheira v'yameinu. Amen. Shabbat shalom to all.